No, people go home. Yeah, yeah. No, don't worry. I don't take it personally. Chas v'shalom. You have one Jew to learn. Just if everyone, if one person could stay, that would be great. Okay. I skipped the Mishnah. I hope that's okay. I'm trying to make it l'maisa dik. Our learning should be in Chus. Eli Nishmas Alta Shlumis Shalomis As Baruch Shul Halevi. Should be a male to Osher for us. He should be a male to Osher. She should be a male to Osher. Okay. Here we go. So this is a very famous Mishnah. I never liked it when people started off their shiurim saying this is famous, because famous means like everyone knows it, and then I usually didn't know what they were talking about, so I'm sorry that I said that. So I want to focus on three parts to this Mishnah. Here we go. Go to page 3. I gave you the Mishnah full on page 3. From Rav Avadya, Anaf Eitz Avos. Shimon beno Omer, Shimon whose son said, Kol yamai gadalti ben hachamim, my whole entire life I grew up with amongst the chachamim, and I didn't find anything better for the body than shesika, than quiet, than being silent. Okay, we'll see what that means. And the learning is not the main thing, but the action, right? We don't just learn Torah to learn. We learn Torah to affect our actions. And someone who speaks a lot brings upon sin upon himself. So just to start off with one little bit of introductory remarks. By Shabta gave me a few minutes to be able to start off. So Rav Mendel of Vishiva, I'm not sure, I've never heard of him, but I'm assuming he's one of the Hasidic masters. And also Rav Moshe Chil of Ozhever said the same thing. He says that we have to learn the power of being amongst Talmid Chachamim. I don't know if anyone was here for Shabbos, but there was a certain fire that Rav Khan had that it wasn't a regular Shabbos. Rav Khan was someone who's literally on fire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on fire for Torah, on fire for Dveikus, on fire for Emes. When you surround yourself with the people who are just on fire themselves, it has a tremendous effect on them. So says these rebbes, Rav Mendel of Vishuva and Rav Moshe Chil of Ozhever, Ko yamad gadalti b'en hachachamim. It doesn't just mean that I grew up amongst the chachamim. It means Ko yamad gadalti b'en hachachamim. All my days were raised. They were raised up because I surrounded myself with the chachamim. Reminds me of the Maisa. I said this a million times. The Dovna Magid comes to his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, and he says, Rebbe, with all due respect, how do you be mashpia to your Talmidim? How does a parent give over Jewish Judaism, Yiddishkeit? How do you do it? So he said it, Maisa, he said an amazing mashal. He said, you know, sometimes you have these grape juice cups. I'm not sure if it's such a wedding present nowadays. It used to be when I was growing up, it was a big, good bar mitzvah present. You know, you have the big cup, and then the little spritzer that goes to every. That's the right. The little cups go. They go around. What's the name of it? The pitcher cup. Okay, the pitcher cup. Okay, it's being recorded. So the Kiddush cup. I don't know if you could use that in 2017, 2018, whatever. Fake news. Baruch Hashem. So Maisa says the Gra, says you have to be, every father, every mother, every Rebbe has to be that cup. If you're an overflowing cup, if you're constantly looking to grow, and constantly looking, not just learning, but davening and going closer to Hashem in a real way, it's gonna affect your kids. You don't have to tell your kids to daven and to sit in shul. They're gonna see you. They're gonna see you go out for a night's seder. They're gonna see you love Torah. They're gonna see that at the end of the day, you're the biggest role model when it comes out. And that's what he told the Dovna Magid. It's not giving over information. It's giving over the passion, the energy. And that's exactly what these rebbes said. Koyma gadalti ben hachachamim. So now I just want to talk about the kedusha and really the midah of shesika, the midah of being quiet. Sometimes being quiet is the wrong thing, right? We're gonna get to Megillas Esther soon, and so Mordechai says to Esther, "Lamaisa, if you don't step up, who's going to step up, right? But then, right? The shtika kodadam, exactly. But sometimes we have to know sometimes the power of shtika itself. If you go to page 1. It's actually brought down the Mishnah Berurah. Usually my page 1s aren't Mishnah Berurahs, but I saw this quote. I had to see it. I had to show it to you. If you go to Simon Tovkov Ayin Aleph Sif Aleph, so where the brackets are, page 1. He says, "Varaisi kasuv b'sefer echen," and I saw written in a sefer, "Shekeshe adam rotze lisnadiv tainis." If a person wants to make up a tainis, missed a tainis, whatever it is, you weren't feeling well. Tov yoser sheyikabel tainis mina dibor mimash yikabel alav mina achila. He says, you want to make up a tainis, a fast that you might have missed. He says, "Says the Chabad Chaim, I saw in the sefer, it's better to take a tainis dibor a fast from speaking, and just a fast from eating. Why? Ki mimenu lo yelo nezek lo begufo v'lo minishmaso v'lo yachlesh al yedezeh. Your body won't get hurt, your neshama won't get hurt, you won't be weakened by this. He says the Gra brings this down also. Shetzarech adam liyaser atzmo lo betanas v'sigufim ki im beresen piv v'tavoso v'zeo atshuv. So he says at the end of the day, sometimes we're not even on this level, you know, to be able to think about fasting. But sometimes maybe think, okay, maybe I should try to be a little more quiet here, a little more quiet there. I remember my wife and I got married. We were zochet to be in Eretz Yisrael for the summer. So we went she didn't come. We went to a great Rebbe in Meir Sharm. His name is Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg. I'm not sure if anyone here has ever heard of him. Tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. He's like a very, very, very little small shtiebel, but in Mattersdorf. But he keeps Shabbos till 12 o'clock. It's incredible. So found out that he was going away for Shabbos Nachmo, and usually at Shal Shudus there are 300-400 people there. There's a translator because he's speaking in Yiddish, even though he knows perfect English. The translator for all the American guys who want to hear what he's saying and don't understand Yiddish. So we get there, and I'm expecting 300-400 people. Not in Mattersdorf. He went away for Shabbos Nachmo. Then I found out there's 10 Jews there, and I found out after that only people in his kolel who took a tainis dibur for the week were able to spend Shabbos with him, Shabbos Nachma. I think it was in not in Ramot, but one of those exits like right outside Yerushalayim. I forgot the name of the city, whatever. So I got there and I was like, oh yeah. So there was no policeman at the door asking me if I took a tainis dibur. I found that after. So at the end of the day, this isn't a. People are still doing this. You know, we have to maybe do it on our own level of maybe what to say, how to say. I gave you guys a great story on page 2. Rebbe Tzimachlis, we've said it numerous times. She died a few years ago. She had hundreds of people in her house over 50 years of Shabbos. Every Shabbos having over 100, 200 guests. Look at this story. So my mother and I, this is her son. My mother and I would go to the Kotel very early in the morning. She would park the car near the Kotel, which is a chiddush, getting up a spot by the Kotel. And one of those spots that are reserved for certain people who start work at 7 a.m. We always finished davening and drove away before 7 a.m. But once we came back to the car at 7:05, and the guy whose parking spot it is started screaming at her, "You don't care about other people, you're coming late." For 2 or 3 minutes, kept screaming at her, and my mother just stood there silently. After we drove away, which is a very big mile, I don't know if anyone's ever got screamed at before, probably have. To be able to take that without walking away, to be able to take that, you have to have a lot of humility. After we drove away, I asked her, "Why didn't you answer him back?" And my mother said, amazingly, "It's not him," in lowercase h, but it's him, uppercase h. "It's not that man, it's Hashem. Maybe I have to fix what he's talking about. And I'm not on time to places. It has nothing to do with him. I should really have been back by 7 and not 7:05. At the end of the day, sometimes we're always so upset that people are saying this to us. But you have to understand that also everything we see, everything that happens to us comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She says in another page also in the book that anything that happens to us, right? For example, I'm standing online in a kosher marketplace or in Winn-Dixie last week. This woman is literally lambasting the guy behind the counter about her chicken. I'm waiting here 15 minutes for the chicken. I have my headphones in. I'm like, okay, more time the better. I don't have to be at home with the kids. It's great. It's gavaldik. Take as much time as you need. It's gavaldik. This woman, I'm just kidding. Don't, my wife, she's okay. So at the end of the day, the Baal Shem Tov says that if you see a bad mita in someone else, it's actually a sin that you have that mita. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to see it, not she doesn't, you wanted you to see it to be able to look down at someone else, it's a sign that you have that mita. It's a sign that you have it. It's a sign that that mita exists in you. But to be able to take that, and to have that proper anava, it's a very, very big milah. Look at the story on page 3, Rav Avadya quotes. This is actually one of my favorite stories. Rav Avadya Yosef, you know, we've quoted him in the past few weeks, Rav Shechter's favorite sefer on Pirkei Avos. He quotes a great story of Yechiel Michal Zlatchev, who was a Talmud of the Magen of Mezrich. If you want to, you can see it inside in your own town. Just say the story outside, just for time purposes. But he says that this Rav Chaim Nechav Zlatchev was very, very poor, very, very poor, and his one prized possession was his grandfather's tefillin from the Rebbe Yitzchak of Maharivitz. What a precious, precious tefillin! And his wife begged him all the time, "Sell the tefillin so we can have a little more food on the table." He said, "No, the tefillin we have to." Comes along, took us 1 year. He finds the most beautiful Esther. Like the movie, what's it called? Ushpizin, right? Ushpizin. Comes along, he finds his beautiful Esther, and he sells his tefillin. And he comes home, and his wife, as a good Jewish wife, goes, Where'd you get this Esther, Rabbeinu? Where'd you get this Esther? And he said, "I sold the tefillin." You can only imagine being an ant in the wall in their home. she took the box and she put it on the table. And what happened to the esrog? It fell out. And he picks up the esrog, and the pitum's fallen off. So now he doesn't have this filling. He doesn't have the esrog. He says, listen, this is the story, the maisa that he says. He says, Rabbona Shalom, the same way. I just want to get to his line. If you go to the line that says Venifsal, Rabbi Chil Michal lo hitzi haga b'pif, he didn't say a word. Afilu simen shel kas v'kipeda lo hara, he didn't show any sign of anger. Rak amr l'vnei amokim, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbona Shalom, master of the world, tefillin mehudaris kfar einli, I don't have tefillin. I don't have the beautiful, the precious tefillin of my Zeta, my father. V'esok kosher gam kenenli, I don't have my esrog. Hareini mekabas gezeres chabaava, I'm taking upon myself the gzera with love. The dikas lo avo, please make sure I don't get bekas. The shalom bayis will offer. Then my shalom bayis will be strong. He says that night, Chag HaSukkos, his father came to him in a dream and told him because he conquered his anger and he didn't say a word. He says that from now on, you're going to have tremendous parnasa in your life because you were quiet. She bit it off. I thought that he smacked it down. Oh, she bit it off. Bit it off, smacked it down. Oh, even bitting off is even a bigger mila, no? I didn't read the mice. The mice is so clear. Okay, so she bit it off. Even bigger thing. Can you imagine? Unbelievable. What self-control and what the power of silence, the power of not answering back. At the end of the day, I'm the biggest proponent. A person sometimes has to stand up for himself. He can't be a shmata. But sometimes when your boss and your wife or your friends are giving to you, sometimes it's okay not to answer back. To be able to, and the story goes, he says that, and he was rich for the rest of his life. He didn't lack anything. That's the first part. The power of shatika. Now I just want to focus on the Mishnah. It says here, l'matzosi laguf tov ela shatika. What does this mean? Dafka for the guf, but for the neshama, it's okay. What's going on here for the guf? So we look at the Maral. The Maral says something beautiful. Maral in Pirkei Avos, he has a sefer called Derech Chaim. It's like a 3-volume set. So far, I only have the first volume, one step at a time. So he says an amazing thing. He says, we know that in Judaism, in our life, we have a guf and we have a neshama. It's like a Yetzer Tov versus Yetzer Hara. Our mind is our neshama. Our thoughts are our neshama. That's why, if you ever think about it, I always ask my kids, where's your neshama found? Not my kids at home, my kids in school. And they say, oh, your heart, this, that. Neshama, the strong breakdown, is in your eyes and in your head, where your thoughts are. Right? You get one little piece of dirt in your eyes, what happens? You can't focus. You get a little piece of dirt on your leg, on your heart. You get one little piece of your dirt on your eyes, you bug out. It's the neshama has to be so physically and so spiritually pure. Says the Maharal, when a person speaks, speaking is the guf. When a person constantly speaking, you're not letting your mind to think and to be. That's exactly what he's saying. You want to know how to beat the guf? Stay quiet, because the guf is dafka by talking. Like Uncle says that we're dafka human being because we're able to speak. At the end of the day, our machshavos, our neshamas found in our mind. It doesn't mean that we can never speak. It just means sometimes it's better not to speak, just to think. And just to be. If you go to page 5, Rabbi Rabban's favorite sefer over here, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap. So he writes this exact thing about the power struggle between the guf and the neshama. He goes on page 5. He quotes the Gemara in Chulin. Right? The Gemara asks, "What is a person's job in this world?" What does Gemara answer? Yasim atzmo ki'ilim. He should make himself like a mute. What does this mean, to make himself like a mute? So go to page 6. He says, just by the other lines, what does this mean? It means to quiet down your bodily desires. It means to quiet down your the gashmias, the every little type of thing that you want. He says, what does it mean to quiet down? It's not talking about just the midah of being quiet. He says, Rav Yaakov Moshe is saying, but quiet down your guf. Tov Ela Shasika, to quiet down your gashmias, your physical things, to focus then on that's exactly what it means. Ma munosa sha'adam alon haza. What's a person's job in this world? To make yourself an ilim. What does that mean, to be mute? It means to be able to take your yitzhar tov, to be yitzhar. Your yitzhar wants to look at something you shouldn't look at, to beat yourself. And yitzhar wants to have you to have that extra hamburger. No, I don't need the extra hamburger. That's the avoda of not shizika of being quiet. That we talked about having self control, answering back. But this is talking about something differently. This is talking about having your neshama be able to beat your guf. That the guf says to eat, to drink, to this, to that, to sleep more, this and that. But the neshama is saying, no, hold up. Let's try to be a little more strong. And that is just, the Sasemis also says the same vort. Meaning for the guf, la guf, right? Lamed to the guf. What do you have to do to the guf? You have to quiet it down. The guf wants me to go to sleep all day. I say I go to Monday kol. And the guf wants me to eat and I shouldn't be healthy. I say no. I gotta eat because I gotta be at my kids' chasms, my grandkids' chasms. At the end of the day, that's what it means. Tov la guf la shesika. Now I just want to be able to tie it in from the beginning to the end. If you go to page 7, the page 7 is one of my hidden treasures that I've showed you guys before. Not every week, but it's a sefer called Maimonides HaNetzach. Maimonides HaNetzach is one of the Likud Svarim on Pirkei Avos. So he quotes Rabbi Chaim of Kosov, and Rabbi Chaim of Kosov says the following idea. He says, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to get people to like you, you can't stay quiet your entire life, right? The first part we talked about was the power of being quiet, self control. Then we talked about part 2 about quieting the body. He says, but if you want to get people to like you, then how are you going to? You want to say nice things to people? How are you going to show them that you love them? So he says here, that's the exact message of the end of the Mishnah. Lo midrash ikar ela maisa. He says, you want to know how to make people like you? Lo bidiburim. Look inside. To or avasam elecha el b'masim tovim elah maisa. Right. What does this the last line have to do with anything that the Mishnah is talking about? Look at the Mishnah. Like, what is this? What is the Mishnah? What is the end of the? Okay, learning is not the main thing, but action is. He's saying, if you think that you're not going to speak, and people aren't going to like you, no. You could also speak to people through your actions and how you smile. You keep the door open. You send someone a text message, good Shabbos. Also through your actions, people could hear a lot of things too. Also through your actions, people hear a lot of things. I gave you the Rabbeinu Yonah also. But Ben Yonah says, then a person speaking a lot. What's this lashon of dvarim? He says, this even refers to divrei Torah. Ben Yonah says on page 7, af le divrei Torah. He says, even when a person, you want to speak a lot of divrei Torah, it's great, but at the end of the day, don't speak so quickly. A person has to have time to think, yachshav, b'mesinus, to think one step at a time. Can you start, reomer dvarv b'mishkal, to use your words, b'mishkal, to calculate, and balance. Don't be so quick to be able to use your words in divrei Torah. So the nice we saw three things, and I just want to get to two last stories and maybe a partial connection because we have till 5. I think you don't want to go past the bell. So we started off saying the power of shesika. Then we talked about the power of quieting the body of gashmias, and then we talked about the beginning part of the Mishnah, and then the end part of the Mishnah. So Shlomo Feifeld, who's the founder of the Yeshiva Shar Yoshev, I brought the sefer over here for everyone. This is a must that never in a Jewish home. I'm telling you, I usually don't like Gedolim books because they're very, I can't really connect to it. It's just like, Chavetz Chaim davened when he was 1 year old, and you stink. So, it's very, I can't connect it. There are a few of them that I do very much connect to. This is one of them. He's just an amazing, amazing person. So down to earth, so real, but so, so special. So he writes over here, he says the story goes, this is not him, this is the book that he came out of him after. He says that he was in the hospital, and the story goes is that he asked the nurse to leave for what was the exact story? The Talmud informed him that the nurse had gone to give him a shot, and Rav Shlomo attempted to sit up. And he asked the Talmud, third paragraph. Then he asked the Talmud to excuse him for 2 minutes, after which he called the nurse back in. The Talmud returned a few minutes later with the nurse, and was astonished at the change at his Rebbe. Rav Shlomo before wasn't so happy, but now he was smiling. Just a few minutes earlier, he had been pale and weak, and now he exuded vitality and strength. I must tell you a really great joke. She said, "Oh, Rabbi, you're always so funny." When she left, the rabbi slumped back up and turned to his Talmud Heschel. Look at the underline. I was thinking about this a lot. He says, "The tachlis of a Jew, the tachlis of a Yid, is to bring joy to other people." He says, "Even to goyim." I don't like using that word. It's more of a yeshivish word. Even to goyim. Even to non-Jews. The tachlis of a Jew. He's able to bring joy to other people. It means there is a measure of using our mouths for good. We have a mouth, we have to be able to say thank you, to be able to say, ask people. At the end of the day, we have such kochos to be able to use our minds, to use our mouths in the right way. The last thing he says over here, a great story about him going to shul on Shabbos, and they found out that the guy, this from one of these Chevrolet places around Far Rockaway. They asked what happened to this rabbi. He said he died. He says, he was my rabbi. They said, how is he your rabbi? He says, one Shabbos morning he was being pushed, and he stopped at my shop, and he said, what was the lashon? He said, I really liked your beautifully decorated window. It's so colorful and inviting. Have a nice day. Regular Shabbos morning. Just simple things. It could go a very long way. So at the end of the day, we have the topic to use our mouths for good. To be sometimes, to be the step up, to be, as the Rav Shlili Pinchas says, there's a vote of Leia, of being hoda, of using our words for good, and there's a vote of Rachel, being quiet, not sharing the signs. Just be able to end it with a parsha connection. Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam in Parshas Aloscha, that when she got tzaras, so the storm bring down. Why didn't he ever daven that he should get better? He had his list by the Medrash. The Medrash says that there's the fiery coals and the crown, and Paros Chever was saying he's going for the crowns. Let's see what he wants. And he went for the fire. What happened? Malach came and pushed his hand by the fire. He touched his mouth. Why didn't he ever daven to Hashem he should get better? Shabbat Yudin from Fairlawn. Anyone from Fairlawn here? Shabbat Yudin from Fairlawn said, he quoted the Sefer Talmud Biyado, who said that Moshe Rabbeinu always wanted to have a karsa tov to Hashem for him saving him when he was a young child. Dafka, he never davened for his mouth to be cured. Why? Because he always wanted to have the reminder from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reminder of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him. There's a time to be able to use your mouth, there's a be able to time to not use your mouth. Hashem should bless us. We should be zocha to have the power of Rebbe Tzemachlis. When we're getting lambasted sometimes, be able to have the power to have self-control, be able to quiet down our body sometimes when it's telling us to do the wrong thing. And finally, to be able to tell people through our actions how much we care for them as well. Sure.